Hey guys, this episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. You betcha. It remembers my daughter's temperatures, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. What a great deal. And the best part, it keeps her entertained with games while we wait for the results. Go to kinsahealth.com right now. Check it out. Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hello. Welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, episode 33. I'm Heather. And we have a great show today, you guys. Casting director Donna Gurgley Bowling is joining me in the Motherhood in Hollywood studio. Donna has cast huge shows for Disney like The Haunted Hathaways, Ant Farm, The Suite Life on Deck, Shake It Up. And she came in the studio and we talked about casting. We talked about what it's like to be a mom casting director in this town and try to balance those two worlds. And yeah, Donna was really great. She has some wonderful information. So you guys, especially if you're an actor or you're interested in showbiz at all, you definitely want to hear what she has to say. So how have you guys been? What's going on? How's your week? My week has been great. I got to do a little live YouTube situation for Mom Cave TV. That was fun. If you Google that, Heather Brooker, Mom Cave TV, that will come up and you can watch me act a fool on the internet. What else happened? Oh my gosh. So my friend Jen threw this Galentine's Day celebration in honor of all the wonderful gals that she knows. So she invited a few girls to come have brunch. And at first I wasn't sure I was going to be able to go. I really wanted to, but I had a bunch of stuff going on. But anyway, I found the time and I went, and I knew I couldn't stay long. Or at least I was going to try not to stay long because I had a bunch of stuff to do. And I had a mimosa. And then I had another one. Then I had another one. This is in the middle of the day, mind you, while Channing is in preschool. And I get several mimosas in and I realize I was drunk. I was like rambling and telling everybody my business. And I just realized, like, I have not been day drinking in, like, a really long, like, probably before Channing was born, easily before Channing was born. I just don't have the time for it anymore, or quite frankly, the recovery time, because I'm still hurting. This was a few days ago, and I'm still hurting. Like, I didn't get any sleep. I was so tired. Like, I'm a mess. I actually, like, yeah, I had to call Chris and just be like, hey, so I'm not going to be able to pick up our daughter from preschool because I'm drunk in the middle of the afternoon. And he was like, what? How did this happen? I will say, though, as far as like in terms of the amount of fun I had, oh my gosh, it was such a stress reliever. It's so nice every once in a while to just be like, oh, I'm not going to worry about all the responsibilities I have to do, all of the million emails I need to return or things I need to tweet. And I'm just going to sit with a bunch of girls, get a little boozy and have fun and relax. And that's exactly what I did. And so I sobered up and then I drove home and I was so grateful to Chris for stepping in and helping me out. I don't get to do that very often to kind of let my hair down. And now I know why, because I'm hurting. I'm hurting, but I'll be all right. So do you guys ever do that? Anybody ever just take a moment to yourself, even an accidental couple of hours to sort of let out some stress? I think you should. I'm a big fan of it. So what else is going on? Oh, my episode of Real Husbands of Hollywood aired on BET this week. If you didn't get a chance to see that, the name of the episode was Easy as 1, 2, 3. And I'm at the very end of the episode. If you want to fast forward, you totally can. But I actually got to be an actor and like go and be on a TV show. Now, here's what's crazy is I actually filmed that a year and a half ago. And I've been waiting for this episode to come out because I got to improvise in it with Kevin Hart. And the director came in and kept going, just give him all you've got, like throw all these lines at him and like see what he can do. And it was so much fun. He really is just as funny as you see on TV or in his stand-up, if you've seen him at all. I mean, he's just a really gifted and hilarious performer. So I felt really honored to get to be in a scene with him, even though they chopped it all to hell. Like, as an actor, you never know when you're filming something if you're going to end up having two lines or like 15. And in my case, I said a bunch of lines that they filmed, and only like three of them made the final cut. So yay. Maybe I was not as funny as I thought I was. Whatever. But anyway, it's still fun. It certainly doesn't diminish the experience for me because I had a great time. And I posted a picture of me and Kevin Hart. He's in whiteface for part of the bit. And he kept joking around. He's like, oh, I look Puerto Rican. And he kind of did. It was really funny. So if you get a chance to check that out, definitely do. And that's the exciting things that have been happening in my world this week. So I want to now let you guys hear this amazing interview from Donna Bowling. She has so much. She's a wealth of information, like I said, especially for actors and those of you who are parents in the industry as well. You'll love this. So here she is, everybody. Donna Gurgly Bowling. All right. So just so you guys know, we have already been talking for like an hour and a half. So part of what we're going to be talking about, I might be forcing her to rehash a little bit. So joining me on the show today, you guys, is Donna Gurgly Bowling, casting director extraordinaire. Can I say that?
I like that. Okay. I'm just use that always.
That. I'm just going to give you that title. Thank you for coming by.
Of course.
Today.
I appreciate it.
So we were talking about casting. We're talking about being a mom. Tell me a little bit about how, as a casting director, your life is affected when you became a mom. Like, what changed for you, if anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing, I was the kind of mom when I first had my son. I don't really feel guilty. I used to feel guilty saying this out loud, but I don't really feel guilty. I was not loving staying at home with a baby. Yeah. For me personally, it wasn't everything to me that I thought maybe it would have been.
And you have to feel guilty. I think there's a lot of moms who feel that way, you know.
Maybe they feel that way, but you don't hear a lot of moms saying that they were dying to get back to work. I mean, that's true. A horrible, yeah. It's like feels like a bad thing to say. But for me personally, I love, love, love my kids, but I also love to work. And so I remember when I, at the time we were working on a show, a series, and my partner Brandy Bryce had been filling in for me with an associate, and I was dying to get back. I would come and visit with my little 5-week-old, 7-week-old when he was getting older and older, and I was like, okay, let's go. I was excited. I wanted to work. Then once I was working and my 3-month-old became a 5-month-old and a 7-month-old and got older and older and became more of a person that I can connect with, Then it got a little harder. I remember when we got our first pilot, and he was since I had had him, and it was longer days. Mm-hmm. And I was confused. I was like, this, I don't know. I want to be home with my kids.
I was going to say, did you feel like you wanted to stay home more? Or
I felt horribly guilty in both places. Mm-hmm. I was home and I wanted to be at work, and I was at work, and I felt sick about missing his dinner. Yeah. And missing, you know, I would rush home to make sure I'd see him. It was a very, very strange feeling. I don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'll have it day to day on a random occasion if I'm missing something big, but that first year was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And casting directors have crazy hours too, right? Like, you guys have really long hours when you're working on shows.
It depends on the project. Mm-hmm. And it depends on, you know, of course, pilots are busier and you're going to be reading people until, you know, late in the night. It also depends on the producers you're working with. Depends on if you're casting kids or not. You know, if you're casting kids, obviously you're not having sessions that late, but you have to have sessions after school. So that becomes an issue as well. Brandy and I always try to maintain our ability to see our kids at the end of the day. We've missed bedtimes for sure, but we try to do that. That doesn't mean that the job is done when we get home, though. I mean, there's always work to be done once
the
kids are in bed.
Yeah, you're getting emails in the middle of the night like, I don't like this actor, or we need to, you know.
It's always the casting crisis right during like bath time, bedtime.
Oh yeah.
We would laugh about that because it will almost be slow. Like, a lot of casting is sending in your choices and waiting for approval from God knows who up in the, you know, corporate ladder.
Right,
and so we sit and we sit, and it's 2 p.m. and it's 3 p.m. and it's 4 p.m. and then we say, you know what? It's 5. Well, we're waiting for an answer. We're available at home. Mm-hmm. And we go home and it's quiet. And then 6:30 and any mom will know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, all of a sudden the emails come pouring in, and the calls, and the texts, and then the kids are crying, and it's like insanity.
And you're in the middle of dinner.
Insanity. And yeah. Brandy and I are both, you know, we both have young kids, so we're like, okay, I'll take it tonight. No, you take it tonight. And then
that explains why so often I get the call around 6:30 or 7 if I book something.
I'm sure.
Because I always wonder, or I'll get the call that I have an audition for the next day. It'll come out like around 6:30 or 7. And I'm always like, why does that happen so late in the day sometimes?
You're lucky it's only 6:37 and not 9. It's amazing. We always think, what is going on earlier in the day that we're not getting those answers? I mean, I would imagine just people are busy, and watching casting tapes is one thing on their list of things to do. But yeah, it's a lot of last minute stuff. Mm. It's actually a really hard part of casting is that it always feels like a last minute crisis.
Do you think that that's just the state of television casting? Because feature films doesn't necessarily have that much of a crazy kind of rushed feel to it, does it?
No, and I think, I mean, at least when I've done features, it's felt a little bit almost very long. I feel, you know, they make a decision, they have 3 more weeks, and then they can change their decision. There's so much time that it almost works against you. The nice thing about TV is it needs to be cast by tonight. Table read is tomorrow morning at 10. It has to be cast, so at least you know there's an end.
Right.
And you see it, but it's very kind of – of course, some shows probably work differently, but I think scripts are coming in late. Yeah. Later maybe than they used to. Who knows? And then there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of people that need to approve. It's no longer just maybe one person.
Right.
And it feels like it's all last minute.
Yeah.
It's all last minute always.
Yeah, I always feel I always feel kind of bad when I go into casting offices and the casting directors are just sort of like, okay, you know, like go, and there's no time to chat, there's no time to do the get to know you, hey, how's it going kind of a thing. And it's almost now, at least for me, from my perspective, when I walk in and if a casting director is like, hey, how are you, how's it going, and we have more than like a 2-minute exchange or 2-second exchange, I'm like, what's going on? They're talking to me. Like, yeah. This is crazy. And that never happens. It's just always so fast. You're in and out, in and out.
That's so funny. I hear so many things about other casting offices. I've only worked for, like, I think 2 or 3 other offices briefly before we started our own. Brandy and I are very friendly in the office.
Yes. Yeah.
We talk sometimes. It's almost a problem because I always say, like, oh, you know, where'd you get that shirt? Or, you know, we'll say, oh, you have a daughter. Oh, tell us about your daughter. Like,
oh, I love that.
But we're personable people. Mm-hmm. But then it sometimes kind of like shoots us in the feet because we're 10,
behind.
20 minutes behind, 30 minutes behind. But I feel because we've done so many projects with kids, I think we're used to kind of breaking the ice. It's very hard with kids. You can't do in and out with kids. Yeah. You have to kind of, you know, how are you? How old are you? And so we do that with adults too.
It's so
I'm just
nice.
Interested in hearing people.
I will say the few times I've been in your office, it was so nice. And
That's
you guys
nice.
Were really lovely. Like, even if I was terrible, you guys were still like, oh, great job.
Oh my gosh. You're
but
so
as an actor,
funny.
But as an actor, that means the world to you because you walk out. We all like walk to our car and like want to slit our wrists.
I'm sure.
You know, like, oh, they hated me. I'm horrible. And we analyze like everything you do.
I couldn't imagine.
You know, they took a call or they looked away or there was a frown or I mean, you get so nuts about it sometimes as an actor. So
yeah,
it is really nice when you can go into an office and there's friendly faces and they're genuinely happy to see you. So
I feel like it's such a hard thing being an actor. I mean, I'm not an actor and I did it just briefly in high school enough to know that the audition is so challenging. And even though actors sometimes love the audition, it is such – you put yourself out there. It is such a vulnerable place. It's also like highly anxiety inducing. I can only imagine how many panic attacks people get in front of us because I see people getting physically.
I'm sure you do. What is that like when you see an actor and you see them just sort of like.
Like die.
Yeah, inside. like combusting in front of your eyes.
It's horrible. I mean, I feel so bad because I've like struggled with anxiety in the past. I know that feeling. I used to hate public speaking. I teach workshops on the side for kids. And if you looked at me doing them 4 or 5 years ago, I remember I'd have all these like prerequisites. I was like, I need both doors open. I need my rescue remedy, like, which is this homeopathic, like Whole Foods stress relief spray. I mean, I would get into that place. Everyone's looking at me. So you see that sometimes with actors where they come in and you don't even know if they're nervous at the beginning, but by the end of the audition, you see either the sweat, the shakes, the whole thing. And it's just, I feel so sad. I actually feel really bad for them. Yeah, it's not that I'm ever judging in a negative, and I try to calm them down. It's okay. You can do it again.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes they just want to get out of there.
I know. I think they're, when I'm having like a really, a particularly terrible audition, I just want to go.
Have you ever had it like a full on panic attack in the middle of an audition?
I have realized that I'm tanking in the middle of a scene.
No.
And then it's like in your mind, you're like, backtrack, backtrack. What do I do? Reconnect with your character.
What do you mean by tanking? Like, what do you feel when you feel you're tanking?
I feel like if I am paying attention to, or if I catch something on the peripheral of my eye, and I, or I'm thinking of something else, like if I'm like, oh, did I drop, you know, did I pick up that thing I needed for Channing? If I'm thinking about something else in the middle of my audition, then I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I can feel it, you know, just spiral out of control in my mind. Any little thing can like be a distraction. And I did an internship for Jeannie McCarthy casting.
Yeah.
A long time ago when I first started, because I wanted to see on the other side of it a little bit, you know, what you guys see.
Sure.
And you could tell the actors that came in, and bless their hearts, they just would lose it, or they were bad, or, you know, just way off. Yeah. But then the ones that came in and were focused and really knew what they were doing were great.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, you could see the difference. So I can only imagine how much you guys see on a day-to-day basis when actors are coming in and...
I wonder what you guys as actors, I wonder how much you take what the casting director's kind of physical response, like, if are they looking at you? Everything. Are they looking down?
Everything.
So do you, like, immediately if someone's not looking directly at you, or they're like writing notes, do you think that's a negative? I mean, I wonder.
I think if somebody doesn't write a note after I leave, that's when I'm more worried.
Yeah. That's interesting.
If a casting director doesn't make like some kind of note on my headshot or on their paper when I leave, then that makes me think that they're probably going to erase my tape and start over. I think I went to a workshop, or there was something going around a few years ago, that sometimes casting directors will, if there's a bad audition, they will delete that audition to save space on the tape or save themselves time editing later.
Hmm.
And then start over with the next one.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you ever heard that, but I've actually been in casting workshops where casting directors said, yeah, we'll go back and we'll rewind the tape and just tape the next person.
Wow.
Because they know that the person that just came in was not doing well and wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
So for a while, when I went into an audition, and if I was leaving the room and I saw the casting director reach for the camera.
Oh my gosh.
I would literally be like, oh God.
They're deleting it. Oh, that is so funny.
That's crazy, right? But we are so vulnerable, and we, sure, and you guys essentially hold the keys to the kingdom for us. If you don't call us in, you know, you need an agent to a point, but you really need casting directors who call you in and are willing to put you in front of the producers to give you that, who can give you that job opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what I like to say is that, you know, when we are on the actor's side, casting directors, mm-hmm, for the most part, maybe some aren't, I don't know, but I want you to do well just as much as you want you to do well, because I need to get that role cast and I want to show good people to the producers. It makes us look good if you're good. And so I never understand casting directors that are kind of anti-actor in the room, you know, because to me that's discouraging, or that's difficult for an actor to come in to already kind of nervous situation and not feel immediate, sweet, welcoming feedback. For me, that is very important. That's what I would expect if I walked into a room.
Yeah. It's like a job interview. Like, absolutely, every time you go to, you know, an interview or talk to a producer to get a new show, if you went in and the producer was like on their phone the whole time or not making eye contact with you and just kind of like brushed you out.
It's happened.
I'm sure. Yeah. And it's sort of deflating and you're like, oh man, I worked so hard.
We came up with ideas and we thought we had, and you kind of already get yourself in that place. Like, we're going to cast this, we're going to do it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. So that went awesome.
Right.
It's tough, but I always tell, the kids that I talk to whenever I do workshops or just adults, kids, is that you really cannot take the casting director's immediate reaction to heart.
Yeah.
Because we have asked people, actors, to do it again that we don't call back. Mm-hmm. And we've asked actors to do it again that we do call back. We've asked actors to, you know, we've talked to them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yes, whether or not we're going to bring them back, there's no indication. I think a lot of actors feel like they didn't ask me to do it again, so it's over.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's really hard because you do spend so much time working on it, even if it's a small part, you spend time making your choices and you want to, like, you know, do it well. And then you go in, you drive all that way, you get a babysitter, you drive all that way,
so much work.
And you do it one time and you're like, oh. Like,
yeah.
Even, I think as actors, one thing that, for me anyway, is I want to be directed.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to tell me, hey, try it this way, or maybe do this or a little less of this, because we're like little sponges. We just,
it's like fun to play a little
bit.
Yeah,
we want to play and, like, tell me, you know, oh, don't ever do that. Try this, or, you know, something. Because if we just go in and we do it one time and then we get no feedback, no callback, no booking, no nothing.
You have no idea.
You have no idea if you're on the right track, if your choices are good, or, you know, whatever. And then we're in our car slitting our wrists, though.
No, I know. I see actors' faces when they walk out sometimes, and we want to go give them a hug. They look, like, so deflated. Aww. And it can't, yeah. You can't do that to yourself, even though it's so normal.
But what is it like working with kids? Because you guys have done a lot of kids shows.
Yeah, that's kind of been our thing at the beginning of our...
Yeah, was that something intentional that you wanted to do, was work on kids shows, or did that just happen?
It kind of just happened, but we loved it. I mean, it was my first job when I graduated college. I went straight as an intern and then an assistant for Joey Paul, who was doing That's So Raven and, like, a lot of the Disney shows. And then I kind of went away from that. I was working with Greg Orson and Leslie Gellis as their associate. Go Casting is what they're called, and they did a lot more adult content. And then Brandy was working in the Disney space as an associate. She got her first show, the famous Suite Life on Deck.
Yeah.
Everyone is watching that right now, I'm sure.
And were you guys friends before you met?
We were friendly because we worked as assistants together on a pilot, like, a few years before, and then we kept in touch. But, you know, we were friendly. It wasn't like we were spending every second together. And then – but she came to me and asked if I wanted to partner up with her. She wanted someone that – maybe knew the adult world a little more and kind of could bring that knowledge in. And so then once again, I was back in the Disney world. At that time, it was just Disney, and then we did Nickelodeon. So we've done a lot of stuff for kids. Yeah. How is it? It's always changing. That's one thing that I really like about it, is that, of course, you're not going to be reading the same. If you're looking for a 12-year-old girl, you're going to read different girls every year.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Whereas adults, you know, if you're looking for the – whatever character for 5, 7, 8 years, everyone's
call in the people who your favorites that maybe didn't get that last part. And is that something you guys do you remember people, or do you find that that's hard to do, is remember someone, go, oh, you know what, that guy was really great as this, let's bring him in again?
Oh, we do that all the time.
Oh, that's good.
It's tricky if you're working on a series, because you don't want to bring the same person in front of producers for too many roles. Because then the producers get kind of burnt out, say, you know what, thank you, we're not interested in that girl or that guy. And then we kind of, you know, like, screwed ourselves in that sense, because we love them and we really wanted them. So you have to be really, really kind of sure that they're right for that role.
You know, Alison Silverberg, bless her heart, has been doing that with me for Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
For the past 2 years.
She keeps bringing you in.
She keeps bringing me in, but it's, like, spread out over, like, a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps bringing me in everything from, like, a co-star to guest star type roles. And she's like, Heather, we're going to get you on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do they not like me? Like, what do I? Because I feel like I could have played any of the roles. And she's like, we're just going to find the one that's right for you.
And sometimes that happens. So lovely. That's so great when you have a casting director that has your back like that.
Yeah, super supportive. But my fear, too, is that the producers are probably going to be like, oh, this bitch again.
Yeah.
Like, get her out of here. And then Allison will not be able to call me in anymore. So.
Or they really like you, too, and they need to find someone right. Or maybe the producers love you and the network. Or, you know, who knows?
You just never know.
There's so many reasons why people are and are not getting roles, you know, and we always say that it can be everything having to do with your acting ability, or absolutely nothing having to do with your acting ability, which kind of sucks, but that's truth.
It's now, what we were talking about earlier is sometimes now, especially, it doesn't have anything to do with your talent at all. Like, it could just be how much social media following you have and your Vine followers or Twitter followers, because that's becoming a huge part of the industry now.
It's definitely a part of it, and it depends on the project. But, you know, we just recently finished a digital feature, and it was starring a YouTube star. Like,
what?
She was a YouTube, like, singer.
And how did it come about? Did they specifically want her for the project, or did you have to find her?
No, she was attached. And so but because it was a digital release, and all they wanted was the promotion from all these people that have 500 million, 1,000, gazillion followers. it was a big part of the search, and it was actually kind of a frustrating part of the search because
I totally just spit water. I'm sorry.
I didn't know how to react. I love how you can be honest.
I can't expect you to keep a straight face when I literally just spit water all over.
Well, it's very shocking. I know what I was saying is just such a shock.
I'm like, what? Spit take. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's funny.
Okay, continue.
Okay, that's too good. Now I know if I spit, it's not going to be like
totally
that
fine.
Awkward.
Spit away.
I'm spitting. So no, I feel like it got frustrating because we were bringing in actors that have like incredible resumes, mm-hmm. and that we've known for 5, 6, 7, 8 years that can do it. And they were coming in, and then we were bringing in some, they call them influencers, mm-hmm. YouTube stars that don't have a lot of acting ability but have a good following, maybe have a great voice.
Yeah.
And because there was a singing aspect
to
them.
Hey, that's me. No.
Heather, you were perfect.
I'm an influencer.
Yeah, exactly. You are now. And so and we would bring them back to back, and it was clear who the right actor, like the best actor for the role is.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was even up for discussion is kind of disheartening as a casting director sometimes.
It must be so frustrating.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't really want to put her in that, not lead role, but mm-hmm. secondary role. We already have a YouTube, maybe not like the strongest actor of the world in the, you know, forefront. Yeah. You need someone strong to support them because, you know, and it's hard to say like that. That's going to be my name on there as casting director. I want to make sure it's someone.
It looks good. Yeah. So are you finding then that same trend is translating into older actors, character actors, more established adults?
I've never seen that. I have not personally, but I feel like it doesn't hurt, sadly, in this industry or in this world now. This isn't even only in entertainment because, like, my sister is in – you know, the biopharmaceutical thing, but it's all about LinkedIn and getting your presence online. Yeah. I feel like everyone needs to have some sort of a presence online. So I think, yeah, even a character actor that is 65 years old should probably have maybe a Twitter. I don't know if I would personally, as a casting director, look at 2 65-year-old male character actors and say, wow, he's got so many more followers. We got to go with him.
But a producer might.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a producer might. Or maybe they have like some weird cult following because they were in an 80s movie that was like really amazing.
Yeah,
and they have all these people following them that they say, hey, that would be like a get. You know, that's the word, a get.
Hey guys, I'm going to interrupt this program here to tell you a little bit more about my favorite thermometer. It's Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. You know, it really is the number one tool for mom's peace of mind. For those of you worried about the flu right now and flu season, Kinsa is a great way to help remember temperature, symptoms, and medication. But the best part, it gives you guidance on what to do next. Kinsa remembers all that stuff for you so you can focus on what really matters. Check it out now at kinsahealth.com, the world's smartest thermometer. Yeah, because there's already an established fan base there for somebody who may have done something like that.
Yeah.
What about like IMDb rankings? Because I used to know this guy who constantly on Facebook was posting his IMDb link so people would click on it.
Wow, and that's what makes
up
your
his IMDb star meter go up. He was obsessed with it. And there are some actors who are obsessed with their IMDb
That's
rating.
So
and I'm like, I don't know that that really matters. Like, are you as a casting director on IMDb going, oh, well, she's in the hundreds of thousands? Like,
no, I think IMDb rankings probably was like before the social media followers. Like, that was probably the first way for
indicator.
People to see popularity.
Sure.
Actually, now that I think about it. But no, I've never personally. The only way I'd ever know rankings is if I'm kind of just trying to jog my brain for like a list and we're creating a list.
Sure.
So we're going through based on the searches. And then you see, oh, this is, you know, in order. But I've never looked at rankings as we should bring them in over this person.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's weird who gets ranked higher. Like, it's not.
And it's also false. Like, you can pay to have your IMDb rating like jacked up. Yeah, like there, I think there are services that you can, you know, send $5-$10 to or something, and they'll either like click on your name a lot or somehow they do it. I don't know what they're doing, but
that's
somehow
crazy.
They do it. And it's really interesting to me. Have you been able to discover like any huge stars? Like what is there anybody that you found that you're like, oh my gosh, this is the next like Selena Gomez or, you know, whatever.
Well, Debbie Ryan, who starred in, well, she was on Suite Life on Deck, and then she had her own show, Jessie, and now she's off doing something with Deborah Messing and this, that. She's a bigger actress. She literally, I feel like we could say that we did, because she auditioned for Suite Life on Deck. She was 15 years old in her house, like on tape. Mm-hmm. I believe it was her house. It was a wall.
Right.
But she was just a sweet little 15-year-old that we felt really strongly about, and we kind of kept pushing for her. And then she went off to get her own Disney show and so on and so forth. Other people that I think we kind of brought attention to, Zendaya, who when we did Shake It Up, the pilot with Bella Thorne and Zendaya. So we brought them in. I mean, Bella had been around as a younger actress, so I think that she probably was kind of known, but, we brought her in, and she was able to showcase like dancing, and Zendaya had just done some print stuff and maybe commercials, and she was a huge find, I think, for the network. And she still is now a big celebrity, you know, Juliana Rancic.
Yes, I know. That whole controversy last spring when, for those of you who may not remember, when Juliana Rancic, Zendaya was walking the red carpet and she had dreads in her hair. And that's when Juliana was on Fashion Police, and she said she looks like she smells like weed and patchouli.
Yeah.
And I think she was trying to be funny, but it came across as really offensive. Yeah. And it was a big backlash.
But then Zendaya handled it like incredibly mature. Very well, and Zendaya comes from a really good family, from, you know, my memories of them. And so I think that's a huge part of why that kind of just was well handled.
Yeah, she handled with a lot of class, for sure.
Yeah. So we did a couple of those, and I'm trying to think if there's anyone off the top of my head that I can think of specifically.
How much comes into play when you're auditioning kids, what they've done before? Because if you're talking about a 12-year-old, like, their resume can't be that big or that full, or maybe it can. I don't know. My agent, I was telling you that we had that big heart-to-heart conversation with you weeks ago. She basically told me that unless you've started acting like when you're like three or something, you know, your resume, it just has to be huge. She's has actors who are like 12 and 13 years old that are missing out on parts to other actors who've been acting since they're three.
Yeah.
And she's like, how's that even possible? You know? So how important is that?
I'd say it's not as important as just the ability to kind of come in and make a choice and be, you know, not feel like a coached actor or something. We have that's the biggest problem with kids, is they get overcoached, and it doesn't feel like you're meeting a genuine real person sometimes when you're auditioning. But I wouldn't look, like, if we're doing a pilot, for example, we just did this pilot, Stuck in the Middle, which is a it's a series that's starting on Disney soon. When we did the pilot, it was a very, very long search. We had so many months to find that lead girl. We read everyone. So resume didn't matter. We may have started, to be honest, looking at maybe some of the bigger kids' agents, because we just have relationships with them and trust them. And that was just to kind of go through the bigger ones. And then we end up going through it all. But I get that question a lot from kids. Do I need a demo reel? Do I need this? You don't. You know, you need to have the ability to act. You need to have good representation, most likely, because that's kind of, unless, you know, we have, at the end of the time, we'll go through Actors Access or whatever, or maybe if we're doing a small,
like, opening up generally to Actors Access. If you can't find someone, you mean like send it out to everybody instead of just agents and managers?
Yeah, we have to do that a lot, kind of just to make sure no stone is unturned, and especially if there's a specific skill or ethnicity, or, you know, and we need to make sure that there's not some girl in Wisconsin that, like, we didn't see because she doesn't have an agent.
Because of the technology, the way it is now for casting, you guys can literally read everybody around the world and see what Australia is bringing to the table, and the UK, and all of those actors.
It's pretty amazing. It's so much easier.
And I bet it's also a lot harder in some ways, just because there's so many. I'm sure you guys get bombarded now. If
watching
you're casting
tapes
a pilot.
Is a huge, huge time. Part of the time spent is watching tapes. Like, we will audition all day and then go home, and we'll have to watch tapes all night. And then the next morning we'll watch tapes, and we'd really try – to watch every, I mean, we have to watch every tape because that one, you know,
yeah,
that one tape that you don't watch, you never know.
Could be the one.
Yeah, exactly. And it, but I mean, it's definitely much easier, well organized in the sense that we're not just getting boxes and boxes and boxes of CDs or DVDs and tapes, literal tapes, but it's all just on a website, which makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And it's quicker to go from one to one, so we don't have to sit through maybe 5 minutes of an audition if we don't see something.
Right. What is it about an actor, whether a child actor or an adult, that for you makes that connection or that spark? Like when you're looking for a lead, not necessarily, you know, just like a co-star or something like that, but what is it that someone's bringing to the table where you're like, this is a, this is it, this is the one?
It's the hardest question to ask.
I know.
And the hardest, I mean, it's the hardest answer to answer because yeah. I feel like it's something you just know. And it's a personality. It's a genuine feeling from them. It's a warmth. It's a spark. It's mm-hmm. It's just like when you meet someone on the street, like or at the bank, or you know, there's certain people that you just know, I'm going to connect with you, and mm-hmm. they come in and they're confident, but they're not like annoyingly.
I imagine
confident.
With a lot of kid actors, there's a lot of the overly coached, like you said, Beyond. Kids who are very. Can't, like, hi, how are you? They turn it on.
They turn it on.
Those I've had to audition, you know, with kids who are like that, you know, as playing mom roles sure. or, you know, the coach or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I meet those kids and I just want to be like, hey, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Be cool, man.
Yeah. You know? It's actually really.
But I think that comes from like the 80s sitcom style of acting, because you know, if you look back at a lot of the 80s sitcom kids, they were all so cheesy.
It was like, bigger for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And sometimes I think even the kid shows nowadays, they have such a big feeling, but the kids are still genuine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely projects that we've worked on that it feels incredibly cartoony and over yeah, the top. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was working in the Disney world, like I said, then I left. Then when I came back and worked with Brandy, our first session, I remember we were looking for the role that Debbie Ryan eventually got. Mm-hmm. The first girl comes in and she does this audition and she walks out and I look at Brandy almost like about to die laughing. I'm like, that was insane. And Brandy's like, well, that's kind of the energy we're looking for. And I was like, oh my gosh, we actually need yeah. to find people that are that over the top. I had to like snap myself back into that kind of kid world. Now,
yeah.
some networks are a little bit more grounded. Mm-hmm. And then there's – you have to have a kind of a bigger energy if you're going to be on a show on Disney. There's no question.
Totally.
Because – or else you'll kind of just like fall flat next to the others. But it's a – as an actor, you have to know the project you're going in for.
Right.
You have to be aware – that's a huge thing for actors that I always tell them. You have to be so prepared. Some people come in and they don't know what network the show
know,
is.
Or the feel of the show or the tone of the show.
They don't even know if it's a comedy sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like shocking. I can't tell you how many times this happens to us.
Are you serious? See, that is shocking to me. Like, as an actor, you have to do a little bit of research and like
It's the adults, actually,
yeah.
that don't know. It's the kids know.
Oh, I'm sure the kids know.
The kids
yeah.
know what they're doing. Not all of them. But most of them know because their agents prep them. Maybe their moms right. or dads. But it's the adults that come in. You know, we were doing an MTV series. And yes, it was it wasn't a sitcom and it wasn't like a, hey, slapstick comedy. Mm-hmm. It had a, you know, a little bit darker feel to it. But it was a comedy. It was supposed to be kind of light. In,
right, like a dramedy kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was a 30 minute. So it was kind of confusing mm-hmm. in that sense. And we'd have actors come in and read it as if it was a CSI. I'm going to kill myself. And at the end, we would say, you know, why don't you try it this way or whatever? Oh, this is a comedy?
Oh, no.
It's shocking.
Oh,
so
no.
Do your research
yeah.
as an actor, I would say. Do your research.
Do you do – I know you've said whenever you talk to actors and stuff, do you do a lot of workshops? What are your feelings on, like, actor workshop? Because I know
mm-hmm.
some casting directors are like, oh, I would never. And they're, like, so above
it.
And then some casting directors are like, no, great, let's do it. I mean, you make a little extra money and you also get to – go and see new actors and
yeah.
maybe new faces you've never seen before. So.
I mean, it's definitely a controversial topic in
yeah.
the casting community, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people are very adamant against and some people are very pro. I don't do mine anymore really towards adults. Mine are more – I'm
for
in
kids.
The kid space.
Yeah.
And I don't see any negative thing for any kid to do it, because if you're a kid – and this is something you want to do, even if it's just an extracurricular on the side, you have to practice.
Right.
And you have to kind of get that feedback. And sometimes just taking classes with you know, other actors as teachers isn't going to give you the feedback that a casting director will.
Right.
So I don't see why not. And I would say for adults too, I don't see how it, unless.
Why'd you stop doing workshops with adults? You just don't need to because you like.
No, there's not really a specific reason. I kind of developed a relationship with one studio that hires me as like an exclusive, and it just is a really beneficial relationship.
Just works out for you,
yeah. Yeah, she's really sweet, really wonderful, and I love the talent that she brings in. I get to meet really great new kids.
Yeah.
Like I just did one this last Saturday, and it was 15 all new kids. All of them I had never seen before, which has never happened. And I met this, you know, one girl that I was like, this is a girl that needs to be on TV somewhere.
Yeah.
So for me, that's exciting too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll meet people in workshops and we'll bring them in and they'll book a role.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh,
that's tough. What do you feel on workshops?
I actually like workshops. I haven't done one in a while just because I've been so busy. And, you know, when Channing came along, my evening sort of got sucked up with, you know, bedtime, bath time routine, dinner and all that. I think they're a great opportunity to practice, like especially cold reading stuff, but also some of these casting directors would never see you otherwise.
Yeah.
And I've actually been called in a few casting directors who've seen me in a workshop, but I feel like for me, they were beneficial. Yeah, just for that very reason, because I don't know that this casting director would ever call me in for whatever show they might be working on, because I have a certain type of look, you know, but I'm a character actor. I can transform into other types of characters. So if they give me a scene that's a little dramatic or whatever, I'm just like, yay.
Yeah, something else to do.
Yeah, so I don't know. I actually like them. I think they're great. And for brand new actors, what great way to practice and get your face out in front of other people and, you know, in front of casting directors. You just never know. So I
would suggest, like, to an actor, I think I would suggest to just be choosy on who you're going to.
Yeah.
I would not take maybe an assistant workshop personally because just being an assistant, I know, you know, of course, every office is different, but as an assistant, I wasn't really given so much control over who was coming in.
It took me a while to realize that, too, and I figured out, like, oh, if I'm going to go to these, I need to go when it's a casting director or an associate.
Or, a high-level associate that's been around.
Right. And I didn't realize that because, the casting assistants, while great, don't necessarily always have the control to bring people in.
No, and I was being hired to do workshops 10, 13 years ago, and I kind of stopped because I felt weird about it.
Sure.
I was hardly in the room during sessions. Yeah. I was outside typing the sessions up.
Right.
So I felt like I don't think I'm the right person to be giving these people that advice. I mean, I know a little bit about acting, but to be able to kind of give feedback in a workshop environment, it's really, you have to be in the room. You have to be in auditions to know what to look for and what not to, you know?
And do you feel like you and Brandy are in a place now where you have a certain style as casting directors? Like, producers want to come to you and work with you because they know what you do and what you're bringing to the table, sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I it's hard for me to compare to other offices since I don't know other offices that well, but I know that Brandy and I both have, we have energy, we're driven, we pre-read the crap out of people, which is something that I know a lot of offices don't. Mm-hmm. Because we've done so much with kids, we're shocked when it's like we're so used to reading so many, the volume of how much we're reading. But we, Brandy and I, each have different personalities and different kind of skill sets that we excel in, and we balance each other out really well.
Yeah.
So we always have most of our producers that we work with, we immediately hit it off with and have, you know, a great kind of rapport with. But I don't know if there's anything we do that's so special. We don't do a song and dance before ever. We do. We have a theme song and
but
every day.
But would you? No.
Done and done. Would you write it?
I would. Okay. I would, and I would watch it. That would be amazing.
I can't wait.
And we were talking earlier about your son.
Yes.
And you have two kids?
Two boys.
One? Okay, you have two boys. So your son, Dylan?
Dylan and Oliver.
And now Dylan is the one that you think is going to be, you're going to be casting one day.
Oh, gosh. OMG. So we were just talking about this, Heather and I, but My whole life, I remember ever since I was a casting director, and especially with kids, I would always say, I don't want my son to do, or I don't want any of my kids to be in this business because.
Yeah, why is that?
Okay, so it sounds horrible to say since I'm a casting director for kids and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
It is an incredibly difficult business. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly painful if you're really passionate about it, because you're getting a ton of no's before you get any yeses. Very few are just lucky. Mm-hmm. You will have a lot of time in the car driving from audition to audition. I can't believe what some parents do. It's unbelievable. And I just worried that I would want my kids to, you know, be spending that time doing maybe like sports or even like drama in school or like a class for fun, and then doing homework and making sure they're home on time for dinner. I mean, there's so many times where auditions, you're not home for dinner because you're still driving at 6, 7 p.m. Yeah. In traffic. From Santa Monica. Always Santa Monica.
The bane of my existence.
I know. No, the worst is if you get one in like Playa Vista. I mean, you'll...
What? Is there casting happening in Playa Vista?
I don't know, but it's going to happen one day. You'll see.
Well, I know there's some CW shows that cast out of Manhattan Beach.
That is crazy. It's so far. It's so far.
I'm like, can I just go on tape? And I know. My manager's like, nope.
It's so much, but it's so much better to be in person.
It is, because I have a personality that won't quit. And
people need to see you in person, I feel
they
like.
They do. I think especially if it's an office I haven't been into before. 100%. Then I want to go in and I want to meet them and I want them to, you
face
know,
to face.
Me. Yeah. But it's also still just like, oh, good.
I know.
It's your whole day in the car.
I know. So I feel like with my son, I was just, even before I had him, I just never, ever would want to put them through that. But, of course, yeah, I have a three-year-old boy who is obsessed with performing. Obsessed he has been for over a year. He loves to sing. He loves to dance. He wants to be the center of attention. He says, and now the show, Dylan Bowling. And we have to sit on the couch and we have to watch him. And I have videos and videos, and I already see, like, when we're older and we're going to show it. But, of course, my mother, like, a year ago, she goes, I really don't think he should be a singer for life. Like, this should not – he shouldn't be this, right? Jewish mother.
You know?
Maybe a doctor.
So Channing's doing this thing too where she'll go, welcome to my show.
Yeah, they're so into that.
It's so good. And I'm like, we can figure out where she got this from. And but hers is very much leans towards like a magic show.
Okay, that's cute.
She would like make things appear and we're like, what now a dinosaur is here, like what? And so for Christmas I got her a little top hat and vest and so like cute. Cape with a wand, and she loves it.
Yeah,
so I totally get that, like she'll just be a big ham sauce.
Yeah.
So do you see him continuing, do you think? I mean, he's still so little. You said he's what, three?
He's three. Yeah. I see him. I mean, he will choose to play with his microphones and his little boombox and his, you know, instruments over a lot of his other toys. I'm not going to say no to it. I'm going to let him do it. And I will put him in a dance class if he wants to do dance or whatever. Yeah. You know, there's like a hip hop class that he can start. But I'm not all about I don't know. I'm going to have to really think hard if I'd ever want him to actually do anything like that. That would be something.
It's
I don't
think.
It's
a lot of work, and it's a lot of, like, for me as an adult even, it's heartbreaking sometimes because you go out for a role and you're like, I want this so bad. This could be like a career changer. This is, you know, like so perfect for me, and then you don't get it, and it's so deflating sometimes. It could really, you know, and I can't imagine doing that to like a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old or something.
Know.
It just would be really hard. I know there's kids that do it, and I'm sure it's hard for them.
It's so, I can only imagine, and I speak to them and I see them when they walk out of the room. I mean, it's, you have to, as a kid, I always say, if it's not fun, you got to stop. Mm-hmm. This cannot be the job that you're like doing. It can't be a job, like an adult job. It has to be an enjoyable, fun activity. And the second it stops being fun or it becomes more challenging than fun, you gotta stop.
You gotta stop. Yeah. Well, I'm still having fun. Good. Part of me wishes that I had started when I was much younger, but it wasn't my path. It wasn't my destiny to do that. And so I started as an older actress.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
Grandma.
Right. And so, but you know, so I'm more confident. Like I was telling you earlier, I'm definitely more confident now and happier with the choices that I make and stuff than I think had I started when I was 18, 19 or something, you know?
Yeah. I think that,
probably,
you know,
married, divorced a couple of times.
Probably. Probably like 47 kids on the side. Yeah. No, I feel like it's a really tough business. You've got to be confident. You got to go in and you got to do it. But you also have to have, like we were saying, maybe other kind of creative outlets and do other things on the side so that it's not, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Right. So do you think you're going to start a podcast? I'm going to totally put you on the spot now.
Oh my gosh. well, I love the idea of just talking. I mean, I think that talking is fun. You're like me. We like to talk.
Yeah.
My poor husband. Our poor husbands.
Our poor husbands.
My poor husband has to sit and listen to me talk all the time.
Constantly. Chris is so patient. That's my husband. Chris, he's so patient. And he'll just, Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that sounds great. Nope. I love it. Yeah, that's great.
And you're like, did you hear what I said? It happens to me all the time. I have to say, Lance is my husband. I mean, I love him dearly, but there's some times where I'm like, can you look at me when I'm talking? Because he's like always back on the phone. I'm like, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Did you hear what I said? He's like, yeah, babe. Go ahead. Go ahead. I was like, oh, so I should jump off the building? Yeah, go ahead, go.
Yeah, do it, go for it.
Whatever.
Oh dear.
No, I mean, I think it's important to do. You know, casting is just like acting; it's a feast or famine world.
Sure.
It's freelance. It's hard, and so I think it's important to do these kinds of things on the side, these fun things.
Stay creative and fun.
Yeah, I mean, I keep myself busy with. I love to exercise. Of course, I'm a mom, but you know. There's very few days that I have nothing on my plate. I mean, I've got so much going on anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I'm somewhat sane. You know, like I do my skincare stuff on the side. I do everything kind of. So keeps me busy. Staying
busy, yeah.
Busy.
So speaking of what's next for you guys, do you have any projects coming up? Are you hoping?
Yeah, we have hope. Well, of course we're hoping. I'm not hoping. I'm just chilling.
Not at all.
No, we have. It's a weird pilot season. Mm-hmm. It's like slower to start for especially the comedy side. Mm-hmm. We've had some really good meetings and we're kind of just seeing what's happening. You know, we don't have an ongoing series at the time for the first time. Wow. We just wrapped a really kind of different, fun. It was a web series for E! Online. It's E! Online's first web series.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I guess E! Online's first series because it's E! Online.
That's interesting.
It's called Hashtaggers and that premieres next month and that's really cute. No, it's adults. It's young adults.
Young adults,
it's 20s. Yeah. But it's about a group, an agency of social media. It's essentially a group of people that are hired as celebrity social media accounts. So they're sitting there and they're tweeting for celebrities.
The celebrities. Yeah.
So there's some fun celebrity cameos. Snooki and Ian Ziering. And
yeah,
it's like fun little Stassi from Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And then, but we found our four core cast who are great. And so that will be coming up. It will start next month. We've just been busy.
Yeah. Like you said, it is feast or famine. Like you're either crazy busy or you're just waiting for the phone to ring and trying to keep yourself busy in the meantime.
And then you have to try to, as a mom, I always have to try to just like really enjoy that like time that I have at home.
Yeah.
And not try to like remember that so that when I do get the job, I can go back to, well, at least I was home for that whole month. You know, because it really is a back and forth feeling.
It totally is.
As a mom.
Is.
That's probably in any industry.
Yeah, and I think it's especially hard here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's especially hard. So tell me quickly then, where can people find you if they want to follow you on the Twitter or Instagram?
The Twitter. Twitter is probably the best place to kind of put myself out there, but it's, well, we have to say the spelling of my name.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. I'm Donna, but I'm spelled Dana. So forever people call me Dana.
Dana, yeah.
But it's at Donna Casting, but that's at Dana Casting.
Okay.
That's my Twitter. And then Instagram's private.
Yeah.
I keep that private.
Sure. Yeah, I keep it private. I have a personal Heather Brooker Instagram that's private.
Yeah.
I only let like close friends and family in that one for all my nudie pics. and then I have Motherhood and
Hollywood. I'm glad family can see all your nudie pics.
Absolutely. We're very close.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a podcast or if you have a personality like this, you probably would need to separate. Or some people do, maybe.
Right. I definitely have two and I keep them separate. And then I have a Facebook page for Motherhood in Hollywood. And then I have my Heather Brooker one. But I've sort of let anybody who wants to come on that one now. Like, because I've tried to I don't say as many outrageous things on my regular Facebook page anymore. But maybe I should.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
I just don't have time anymore.
I know. It's all over the place. But
yeah.
Fun.
It is fun. Well, I'm so glad you came by today.
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. You
and
have
I
such
learned
great info. I know. I'm glad you did. I hope you did.
It's like podcasting 101 by Heather Brooker.
It is. I love talking about it. I've become so passionate about this medium, and I feel like I've just been a sponge over the last like year trying to learn as much as I can about it. So if anybody
it's
ever has
cool
questions, I'm always happy to answer.
Yeah, ask her.
Yeah.
I think you seem to know what you're doing very well. You're pulling it off. You're acting like you know what you're doing.
I'm acting like a podcaster. Nailing it.
You could totally play the role of podcaster.
I know, right? Because if that ever came up, and what if it went to somebody else, I would die.
Well, I see people it depends on your Vine followers.
I know.
You see people constantly what?
I'm never going to make it. Oh, I see people on TV where I'm like, why am I not playing that part? And I yell at the TV. I'm like, where did this girl come from? It looks someone look just like me. And
it's so annoying.
As an actor, you just get super annoyed.
I'm sure.
But then I have to realize, like, there's a million people out there who look like me, but not everyone is me. So,
of course, no one has motherhood in Hollywood. Nobody what is it? Does. Motherhood in Hollywood.
Yes. Motherhood in Hollywood, Heather Brooker. It's all me. So, and speaking of that, everybody go to motherhoodhollywood.com, and I'm going to post some stuff about Donna up there, and I will spell your name correctly.
Thank God.
I'll put a link to your Twitter there so people can find you. Thank you so much for coming by today.
That was fun.
I appreciate it. So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time for MIH Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Mama funny. Balls.